some young IDF guys fly in a drone in through the hole in the side of this house. They're in Rafah, deep within the Gaza Strip, because they chased a terrorist into this house. Well, they actually got a look on him, and look, he's actually looking back. And one of the things that you'll notice about this terrorist is that he's missing an arm. Yeah, his right arm there. That's a bad day for old Yahya. And Yahya is sitting there. He has a mask on because he doesn't want to be identified. But wait, he's still got a sword. And you know what? He's yelling profanities at the drone, saying, "Get out of my house." Now, of course, it's not his house. It's some poor Palestinians that he's taken over, which is now bombed. And out of frustration, he throws it. And then through the throw, they know who he is. And then, boom, they let the missiles fly. Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Troy Brewer from Open Door Church. And I'm here in Burleson, Texas. Guys, this is a very special edition of The Pulse. Yeah, I almost forgot the name of it. The Pulse. I have been here all day long filming today. Leanna has been up here with me. And I was like, you know what? We need to do a spontaneous one here today. And so I wanted to actually talk about this miracle of this happening on the Feast of Tabernacles. And man, if you don't think the feast days line up with significant events, maybe this show might convince you of that. As joining me is my good friend, Brother Zach Rippey. How are you, my friend?
Hey, so good to be here, Pastor, and definitely spontaneous. You know, we were just shooting some stuff, shooting some photos, and you're like, let's do a podcast.
I'm
man. Let's do it. I'm in the building. I call Taylor. Taylor came on over, and here we are.
Thanks, Taylor. Thanks for coming over, by the way, man. I appreciate you doing that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so we're here. So he's like, we got so many things to talk about.
I know. Let's do it. And you're back in town, so it's so good to have you back. We missed you this week. And
thank you.
Pulse community and ODX community was here, still playing along and still commenting. So if you're watching right now on YouTube or Facebook or ODX.TV, make sure you comment where you're watching from. We'd love to see where you're located, and we just appreciate you being here today, joining us. Make sure you like, share, comment, do all the things to help be a media missionary, especially sharing it. It just goes such a long way. It's you promoting this ministry for us, and we can't be more grateful for that. So thank you for doing that. And we got some people already tuning in from all over the world. We got Michigan,
South Africa,
Tennessee, South Africa, California. Here we come. Let's go, everybody. Aaron Ash from Cleburne.
El Marie, I call you blessed, man, out there in big time South Africa, man. Call you blessed. Great to have you on here today. Brooklyn, New York is here. Tina is here.
There we go. Look at us. Oh, we got your Glenrose, your stomping grounds, brother.
Come on, Belinda. Right on. I'll be back in Glenrose here within the next couple of hours, I think. But with all that said, man, I had to get with you today. I wanted you and I to talk about a couple, because we got so many updates. There's so many things. Now you came on board here.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're here. Thank you for coming on board, buddy.
Yes, sir.
And so, man, I know that just sitting down in the audience of the church on Sunday, you know, and watching our media, you already know that we do stuff.
Yeah.
But then you come on board here. What's that like?
It's been cool, man. It's been very eye-opening to see just how many layers are involved, how many people are involved into the operation, and just how much you have to be in sync with what the vision of the church and what the vision of the Lord really is for this ministry. So it's been special to be a part of, and I know that God has a big plan for this year, and I feel like your ministry is positioned for such a time as this to be able to reach people for the kingdom of God. And I think that, of course, we have an election here. We have 5785. You just opening up my eyes to just more things that are the deeper things of God. So it's been a pleasure.
You actually watched through those shows because you were helping me with the intros and the outros.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So it was cool to be able to take kind of what I've done over the last 4 years, which is speech writing and script writing, and then apply it to your intros. It was really cool. It was like a nice
little thing. I used your intros that you wrote, and I looked into a monitor and I read those things. I ad-libbed just a little bit.
Yeah.
But I was, which is a great privilege. I mean, it's like, wow. And you could tell, I love that.
Yeah.
I mean,
all good.
I love it. I actually like monitors because I can read pretty well. I know it doesn't seem like I'm very smart, but never had much use for books and such. But with that said, I mean, I like to read, and so I like monitors, and I can ad lib, but I get exhausted after a while of ad-libbing. I'd love for it just to, and dude, you helped me with that today.
Well, good, man. Glad to hear that. Yeah, and your ad-libs were great. You even said one time about like, oh, when your spidey senses are tingling, and I was like, I didn't write that, but that's good.
Thanks,
so man. It's cool. When you do ad-lib, it's like all within the context of like getting the message home even further to the people. So it's good stuff.
Well, friends, if you're just now joining us, we're doing a spontaneous podcast here, episode number 84. And we've been up here filming all day and doing all kinds of media work for our television broadcast called The Open Door Experience, and doing a whole new sermon series on 5785. And you guys know that we have produced lots of videos and lots of content concerning the prophetic word for 5785. And also, guys, we are gearing up for the great 2025 New Beginnings Conference, and I'm really looking forward to that as well. And man, these are crazy days.
They really are.
Okay. Well, I'm about to start getting off into it. We can talk, Zach, if you want to. My last week, the week before, what's going on all over the world? North Carolina update, Uganda update, Mexico update. What about leave it out? Israel. Oh, I'm sorry, yard. Yeah. I just had Babe's chicken.
Yeah, and that'll put you in a coma.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, man, for those of y'all that don't live around here, you if you don't know about Babe's chicken, hey, you know, I met Benny Hinn in person here last year.
Really?
Went out to his place. Yeah.
Whoa.
Went out to his place. I did his show. And he said, where do you live at? And I said, well, I live in Glen Rose, Texas. He said, oh, is your church there, Troy? I said, no, sir. My church is actually in Burleson, Texas. He goes, isn't that where Babe's chicken is? And I said, it is. He's like, man, he told me, he said he traveled all the way from Dallas to go to Babe's chicken.
Wow. It's that good. I mean, service is good. The vibe is good. It ain't wrong.
Well, it ain't wrong, bro.
Yeah. So you met him, and then you also told me earlier this morning you met Mike Lindell, the My Pillow guy in North Carolina. Tell me about that.
Oh, audience, man, about it.
Your boy Mike.
I want to tell you about Mike Lindell. I love that cat. Now look, when Mike Lindell does his My Pillow commercial, he number one. Whenever he first did, you know, he just looked at a bunch of old style commercials like from the 1960s and went, hey, okay, there's nothing to this. I'll do this. And then they went to put it out there and went, no, that's never going to work. And then it became the biggest selling commercial in the history of all commercials.
Wow. So cool.
And all he does is he gets up there and he wears this little cross and he has a Jesus line behind him and he gets really excited about My Pillow. And, you know, he's just awesome, right? Well, I mean, he wasn't a professional speaker. He wasn't a professional media guy. He just got up there and made a stab at it and God Almighty blessed him. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, because he honors the Lord, he loves Jesus. He's a transformed life and he's incredible. Well, he is also... How do I put this? He is very much a CEO. He is very much, he is unafraid. He is very much, he knows exactly what he wants. And I got to see a really cool side of him this week. And I'm going to get to see him again next week because I'm going to be in North Carolina at the 11th hour event and get to meet President Trump.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yo, you need another guy to go with you to capture some social media?
I might need someone to wash my boots and, like, you know, I don't know.
I'll get some coffee for both you and President Trump if you need me to.
Oh, I don't know. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be
really fun. I mean, you've been having such a good, like, amount of, like, a nice little run of like, fun ministry opportunities. Mm-hmm. And, like, obviously, that there's going to be nothing cooler than that. But also, what was it like to be with Sid Roth out there? And Darren Stott and Alan DiDio and your boy Brian Schwartz, like having y'all look like y'all were having a blast out there based on the pictures I saw on Facebook. Like,
oh,
look at this.
Were, man, that's old Liz back there in the back, man. I mean, she is extraordinary, man. And yeah, no, it was good. It was a good gig. We did a whole bunch of shows looking us up there, yucking it up. Now, of course, I ruined the culture by making everybody laugh and I ruined it for everybody. But there's old Mike Lindell right there. And, Brian Boat, he's there with us and all these other guys, it was just so good. I love Liz. I don't know. That's Liz Wright. So I don't know if you've ever seen a huge podcast chick.
Okay.
Out of England. She's a wildly prophetic girl. She's a British girl. She's, man, she's very impressive human being.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got to encounter her.
That's cool. Well, they did. Let's see. How many shows did we do? We did 12 shows, plus we did two bonus shows, plus I did some Sid Roth shows.
That's a lot of appearances, yo.
Oh, it was a lot. No, it was a lot of work. But all the work was on Darren Stott's end.
Yeah, which is nice.
Darren is the one who did all the work. Do you know what my job was? My job was actually to keep the crowd going because you get there at 8 o'clock in the morning and you don't leave until 6 o'clock at night and nobody can leave the building.
Really?
You have to stay in the building.
Okay.
And it's like a
in the audience,
thing.
Like in the, yeah. In the pews pretty
yes.
much.
Yes. You got to stay in the audience all day. And so we had lunch for everybody. And then I brought an entire suitcase of books and giveaways and swag. And we had contests in between the shows. I prayed for everybody. We laughed our heads off. We did silly games. I said, hey, anybody want me to do a FaceTime to your kids or your mom or your dad? We did FaceTimes to everybody. And that was a lot of fun. And we just kept it going.
That's so good. Know? Yeah, just connecting and giving people joy, which mm-hmm. seems like you're so good at that. And being able to just do that for an audio or a studio audience. That's cool, man.
But
cool
opportunity. I like studio audiences. I mean, I like that. I'd rather do a show or do films or even preach with an audience than just, you know, camera in the room.
No, for sure.
But man, I want to tell you, one of the coolest things that we did was with Darren Stott. We had Darren Stott, me, Alan DiDio, and Brian Schwartz. Yeah. We got together and we're like, okay, he asked us about Nephilim, UFOs, Bigfoot,
DNA,
right? Yeah, DNA manipulation, weather modification.
Was that all behind their veil, or was that all just
no? It's his show.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And dude, we hammered it.
Yeah,
we talked about Neuralink. We talked about Elon Musk. We talked about all those kind of cool things. So it was crazy cool.
That's awesome. Taylor's a huge Elon Musk fan. So he was just like this in the back.
It's like, there you go, Neuralink. Brother, sign up tomorrow.
Yeah, no, the Neuralink is wild. Like the way they have like people that can move like a computer mouse with their brain, and a monkey can play Pong with it. Like it's incredible, that technology. And so what do you think about that? Like what were your inputs on the Neuralink thing?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know that we ought to do that. I want to tell you what, if you go to my Gematria calculator and type in the word Neuralink, the numerical value of it is 666.
Well, that says a lot.
Yeah, just thought I'd throw that out there. But it's not only is the beast going to be worshipped in the Great Tribulation, but the image of the beast.
Mm.
And I mean, what's great about Neuralink is, let me tell you where this is going to end up going. It's going to go this. You don't got to look at pornography. You can just look at it in your head.
That's scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have 24/7 pornography going on inside. Have a video going on inside your head.
That doesn't sound healthy.
That doesn't sound healthy to me either. And also, too, not only could you have pornography going 24/7 inside your head, and there will be people that will do that.
You think there will be ads in it?
Did you say abs?
Ads, like advertisements, ads. Like monetized, okay. You know, because that's how they make their money, right?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, if it's monetized, that'd be great. They'll just make so much money. But also, too, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things about it that is just.
It's wicked.
It is wicked. It is totally wicked. And so it's like, okay, can a. And we just now saw Elon unveiled his new robots, which are crazy cool, and his vehicles that doesn't even have a stick in it, doesn't have a steering wheel in it, and all these kinds of cool things that he just launched. Okay, the deal is this: can a demon embody something other than a body? Can a demon inhabit technology? Can a demon inhabit AI? I think it's very evident. Absolutely, yes.
What about a sonogram?
So can a demon inhabit a sonogram? Absolutely. Absolutely, 10,000%. So you're bringing that up because of my grandson, right?
Yeah.
So my grandson, who was just born, my number 8, and God bless Augie. Right on. He just entered into the world. Augie had all this stuff spoken over him. This showed up in a sonogram. That showed up in a sonogram. This bad thing. And I'm telling you, it was bad things. And this is like 2 months ago. We've stood on the word of God for the past 2 months. And I told his daddy and I told his mama, see, this is what Christians do. When that word comes against us, we stand against that and we make our own proclamations. And I don't care what they show to that sonogram. I don't care because it's all a lying wonder. You know, it's all a lying wonder. That's what the whole thing is. That little boy was born absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. Now, he's only 4 pounds. And, dude, I promise y'all, he is – I'm not kidding you, man. I mean, he is, like, this big. He's like, maybe that long, and he is tiny. I mean, I wouldn't even pick him up. I wouldn't even get him out of the crib. I was so scared of him. He's so little.
Aw.
But, man, he breathes just fine. He doesn't have to have any help at all breathing. He's got great lungs, you know. He's got a full head of hair.
Hey, let's go.
Man, let's go, man.
He's a brewer already.
So it may be that what if the sonogram lied because there was a demon in it?
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. Because demons are liars. That's what they are. And then they have people working with them up there as well.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, I guarantee you things that demonic entities can inhabit a person, a place, or a thing. They're all about nouns. That's what they're all about.
Wow.
And so, man, I tell you what, now I guarantee it, old Tater, he'll end up having one of those computers. He'll end up having one of those robots in there. It'll make his coffee and clean his house for him.
He already looked up the price. It's 10 grand.
Which is super cheap. Oh,
20 grand?
Yeah, I was 20 grand. Say, it's okay. Actually 20 grand.
20 grand? Okay.
Yeah, it's actually 20 grand. And that's his vision, is to have a robot in every single person's home. Just like everybody has an iPhone, everybody looks into a black screen, which that's a whole thing. But mirror, mirror on the wall, right? The black screen thing, the black mirror is a big deal. But yeah, with all that said, there you go. You can have $20,000 for $20,000. You can have one of these cool things in your house. But I want to just tell you, be advised. You better know how to rebuke the devil, and you better know that the AI that is responsible for that is not programmed by good people.
Wow. That's real.
Oh, it's real. The only way that that could stay good is if everybody that programmed it was good people. Everybody that entered into the whole AI platform was good people.
Yeah. And that's what the Dio talks a lot about, as far as like programming the AI to know the gospel. And then if you challenge the AI with scripture, it like feeds it and it starts building off the new memory that you insert into it. So he encourages Christians to start entering the gospel.
Engage.
Yeah. And engage with it to make sure it learns that what the word of God says.
Yeah. Very, very, very interesting stuff. But yeah. So anyway, we talked about all that on Darren Stott's show, and it's two bonus features to season two of his crazy cool show that's called Making Light of It.
Nice.
So that's what's called Making Light of It.
Yeah, it looked very professional, very fun, very good energy, and he's still posting pictures of it, so it's cool to see that it's been an impactful weekend or a powerful week that you were there.
Oh, it was good, man. It was really good. So yeah, so we were there for a couple of days, and of course we're busy the week before that, and the week before that, and the week before that, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm back here until Sunday, and then right after Sunday, I'm leaving for North Carolina again, and going to pick up Joseph Z right on. Joseph Z's going to go up there with me, and we're going to actually go to the 11th Hour event, and Todd Coconato invited me. And I'm so grateful for all that. So, yeah.
So cool. So when you meet Trump, is it going to be like a one-on-one meeting?
I have no idea.
Not sure? You're just going?
I have no idea.
Wow. I feel like he could really, y'all could really collaborate for the border issue and trafficking. So hopefully we'll be in prayer that that's what happens when y'all connect. That it leads to a door for that.
Thank you.
When he gets back in office, that'd be so incredible to be able to help out. Because your whole role right now, it seems like you're helping governments be equipped to rescue people. So if you can help the federal government get in place, and obviously Trump is wanting these things to take place and wanting to secure the borders, like, and we read on our last show that there was the feds admitted that there was a 3 times spike in the trafficking reports under the Harris and Biden administration. So knowing that, it means there's a lot more responsibility to be had, and hopefully Trump gets back in there so we can clean it up.
That's a very conservative number, by the way.
Yeah, that's reported.
Yeah.
That's not the actual number.
It's so much worse than that. Yeah. It's so much worse than that. But they have suppressed those numbers, and they haven't told the truth, and now you know it's coming out. But I think that the enemies of America and the people that hate the Constitution, people that are pro-trafficking, and people that are just pro-Palestinian, all those kinds of things, that kind of evil that is out there, pro-Hamas, all those kinds of things. I think that they count on the news media. I mean, they're like, we can do anything we want to now. We can do it in broad daylight because the news cycle is going to dilute anything that we do for us. I mean, they're totally convinced that the news is on their team. And I think it's also just like the election. I think that, like, if you're like, how in the world could the Harris administration come out and just say, hey, we're going to tax the snot out of everybody. I mean, that's their platform. Hey, get ready because we're going to tax everybody. Like, how could you do that? I think that they're counting on two different things. They're counting on their friends in the liberal media not to report it right. They're counting on the algorithms in social media to be manipulated in such a way that you can't find what they say in broad daylight. And I think they're also counting up on the lack of election integrity.
Yeah. That's really real.
They know that they have friends that are out there that's going to do everything that they can do to mess things up so they can just do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, and thankfully, Trump has been posting a lot of posts about it's too big to rig, insinuating that this is why he's going to New York to perform at Madison Square Garden for his rally towards the end. He went to Coachella in Los Angeles in California. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to win the popular vote as well, it seems like, and he wants it to be a landslide, so it's too big to rig.
Man. Well, we're going to be in big time prayer about this and we'll see how it goes and we'll continue to stand. Now, I want to just invite you guys to be in prayer about this, but also I want to invite you guys to be engaged. Be sure that you're engaged. Do you know that somewhere around 45% of all Christians in the United States do not vote? People who say, "Hey, man, I am somebody who believes in Jesus." I mean, I don't want to mess with any of that political stuff. You need to know that the political stuff is coming after you and you had better fight back. You better push back. And your vote is one of the simplest ways to do that. Can you imagine standing before the Lord that God Almighty put us in a free nation, afforded us more opportunity than anybody else? And he said, okay, what did you do with it? Well, nothing. I didn't do anything because I didn't really feel like, you know, I really could do anything. Well, you were deceived. You could have done something.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the DO actually posted on Encounter today that 41 million Christians are not going to be voting because they don't want to get involved in politics. They don't like the candidates.
Cowards.
They think it's rigged. And that's wild. That just shows that the place that we're in is, and I love what Jack Hibbs said about it, where he talked about, like, we don't have to go raise our guns or take our swords to the battlefields. We just have to get out and vote. And like you're saying, the fact that we have a voice for that in a time such as this, it's like we need to utilize that opportunity.
I want to get at the very beginning of this thing, man, we were talking about that this cat Sinwar was killed.
Yeah.
And number one, his name, the guy that's in charge of Hamas, the guy that is in charge of, I mean, literally the Palestinians literally voted these guys in over everything. This guy's name is Sinwar, Sinwar. Okay. If that ain't prophetic enough for anybody.
Sinwar?
That's a dude's name. His name's Yahya Sinwar. I mean, number one, that sounds like Yahya is a great name, by the way.
Yeah, that one's okay.
Yeah, that Yahya is cool. But Sinwar?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, Sinwar.
A little demonic.
It's a little demonic. It is definitely a Sinwar.
I mean, can we show a picture of this guy? I mean, obviously he believes in war.
Oh, there he is in his kids' ministry.
Yeah,
kids' ministry. Yeah, it's powerful children's ministry that he's out doing. There he is, that knucklehead. And man, he is now in the depths of hell awaiting his judgment. And I don't envy him for that. And as a human being, I'm sorry that he's in hell and that he was deceived. As a human being that loves King Jesus. As a human being that wants to live on the planet, that doesn't want to be murdered by somebody like that and doesn't want my kids murdered by somebody like that, I say goodbye.
That's right.
And I say it was a good day. And the day was actually, it was a feast of Sukkot, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a big deal. It's when the Lord, and now it shall be said that the Lord has tabernacled among men. Mm. It's when you move from visitation to habitation. It's when you move from one place to the other place. It's the transition. It's where heaven invades earth.
Wow.
All of those things are all Sukkot.
Imagine that celebration that the Israel people had that night.
It would have been so awesome to be in Israel.
Yeah.
It would have been so awesome. Listen, I'd have been wearing my hat. I'd have been wearing my hat. Do you know, I was actually in Israel whenever Trump moved the
embassy,
from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And I wasn't there for that. I was there because it was the Feast of Pentecost. And I wanted to be there on Pentecost. And I actually preached a deal with Chuck Pierce and a bunch of other guys that we did it in Jerusalem. I wanted to be in Jerusalem preaching a Holy Ghost message on the day of Pentecost.
That's so cool.
And I did. That's and amazing. It was crazy. Had no idea that Trump was going to move the embassy on the Feast of Pentecost. See, a lot of people are not tying this stuff in, that they're happening actually on feast dates. And I guarantee you, I was there. And I also want to tell you this too. I don't think I've ever been so proud to be an American in my life. Everywhere you went, people would stop and they'd say, "Are you from America?" And I say, "Yes, I am." And they would hug me.
Wow.
And they go, "Dude, thank you." Gosh, everywhere I went, there was American and Israeli flags everywhere, all over Israel. Man, I mean, I went to the coffee shop, didn't have to pay for coffee. "Where are you from?" "I'm from Texas." "Dude, America. Hey, I'll buy you coffee." Just people are like, "Thank you, man." They're like, I was so proud to be an American on that day.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was crazy.
What did that mean to the people of Israel when you say that?
It was legitimate that when you recognize that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, you are recognizing the ancient history of Israel. You're saying it's always been there and it's always belonged to Israel.
Wow.
And of course, the modern narrative that these Palestinians had, and also too that the Hamas leader had before he got his arm blown off and before he was blown away on the Feast of Sukkot, is, and I want to just tell you, I'm happy about that. I wish that the leadership of all of that Hamas group, those terrorists, were dead, and I wish that those hostages were freed.
Amen.
There's still 101 of them left, man. And it's like, those people do not need to breathe the same air as us. They do not. They have proven over and over and over and over again, there's no reasoning with them. There's no humanity among them, and the love of decency don't abide in them. So rain on them. Amen.
And you always say you can't be friends with the enemies of God.
No, I'm not interested in being friends with the enemies of God. I'm not even going to try. So with all that said, a lot of people are going to say, "Hey, that's terrible. You had a terrible attitude about that. You should feel sorry for that guy." I don't feel sorry for him at all. I'm not limp-wristed when it comes to what war is all about. And what's real is nobody needs to negotiate with that terrorist. He needs to be defeated. And he was defeated on the Feast of Tabernacles. And that is prophetic.
It's amazing.
Tell everybody what all we're doing here today.
Yeah, we're doing amazing things for the glory of God. If you want to partner with us, you can go to odx.tv and you can go ahead and give to what we're doing here. We're doing stuff in North Carolina. We're doing stuff in Israel. We're doing stuff in Uganda. We're going to be sharing with you guys a new update on the lepers that we have. So you can also call 1-877-413-0888 if you want to get in the fight and partner with us. Troy Brewer and Troy Brewer Ministries has rescued over 11,000 kids from human trafficking. So if you want to be in partnership with us, please go to odx.tv to give or call the number on the screen.
Thank you, man. Very good. Well, okay, so I got some news from North Carolina.
Yep.
And the work that we're doing in North Carolina. And last week we bought $20,000, actually $22,000 worth of chainsaws.
That's so Troy Brewer.
So cool, man. And off.
Did they give you like a list and you had to choose from stuff?
I would like $22,000 worth of chainsaws immediately.
Well, like, where did you even make that order at? Like Home Depot?
Yeah, Lowe's? You go to like, Lowe's, man.
Yeah, like, who's taking that order?
Just start loading up chainsaws.
It sounds like a prank.
I know it does. Yeah, but it's great. And so anyway, so cool. It's Alan Adio. It's his team, man, are doing all that. And we're awesome. Just funding it. So it's really good. And we're partnering with them. And so, man, we've been helping people, blessing people. We took a truck from the Open Door Food Bank out there to them. And we loaded with water. So water and chainsaws were the two main things that our people requested. We need water and chainsaws. Water and chainsaws. And I want to tell you, Zach, you can't just back off right now.
Yeah.
You still have to stay in the game in that.
Just because it's not in the headlines anymore,
that's right.
It doesn't mean the people aren't
still
suffering.
New cycle has already changed. Everybody's moved on to something else. You know. Meanwhile, people are still there. So the body of Jesus has got to walk it all the way through. Yeah. All the way through.
Absolutely. And there's churches doing it, and also in St. Pete, which is really cool. We talked about that on Tuesday's show. Church out there in Tampa, where I'm actually from, called Radiant, is out there feeding people and giving hot meals.
From Tampa, man.
Yeah, yeah. So they had the whole the roof of the Tampa Bay Rays Stadium was lost. But as we were talking about the week before, it was supposed to be like a Category 5 hurricane. Yep. It ended up actually trimming down to a 2, which was thankfully amazing.
Which is crazy. Yeah. And that's the prayers of God's people, is what that is. And they were actually going to ramp it up to a 6. They were going to create a Category 6, which I'd never even heard of anything like that before. And then, dude, everybody's praying and praying and praying, and then boom, it diminished. And by the time it got across Florida, which Florida's not super wide there, by the time that it got across Florida, it was down to a 1.
Yeah, which is so, I mean, it's just, I was so thankful because we have a bunch of friends and family there that were texting us, updating us, you know, leaky roof, you know, fence knocked over, but nothing in comparison to what they were speculating on. So very grateful for that. And I love that our ministry here is doing amazing things to help people in North Carolina. It's so cool.
Put up or shut up, right?
That's right.
It's the book of James. It's the book of James, man. Everybody don't like the book of James. Like, it's mean. It's mean. I love the book of James. I love James. James is a little bit whack, and so is Jude. The two mean books in the New Testament, there's only two mean ones, and it's James and Jude, and those are both the half-brothers of Jesus.
They were salty.
They were salty. That'll tell you something about King Jesus, too.
Yeah.
Right on. His house that he grew up in, man, that was a rough munch.
Yeah, and, it must have been.
Because they're no nonsense, and I love that about the book of James.
Michael Jr. has a great joke about Jesus's brothers.
What?
Half-brothers, Michael Jr.
Yeah, sure.
He talks about, like, he'd be at the dinner table hoping that somebody say in James's name, but nobody in his family did it either, you know? So just a really funny bit he has. So,
I love Michael Jr.
Yeah, he's a good cat. We were talking about him earlier today, too.
You just got through doing some kind of comedy thing. What did you do?
I was actually, in Arizona, Nick Leone.
Oh,
I stayed at
Nick
his house.
Leone.
Yeah, dude. It was so stinking good, dude. Me and Taylor watched the footage yesterday. Taylor came with me, and we filmed the comedy night. And, man, the crowd was just hot. The Lord was with me up there. Every joke was hitting. And we got, like, this amazing footage that looks like it was, like, a comedy special. Like, it looks so good. So I'm excited to show that to peeps soon. And it was just a really blessed time. We did a podcast with the headliner. And, man, it was just fun. It was a good time.
Who was the headliner?
His name was Jaron Myers. He's a Christian comedian, internet sensation. He's gone viral like 4 or 5 different times now. And he was a really nice guy, and the crowd loved him. And he just got married last year. It's really cool. He went on he did this comedy special called A Blind Date, right? Where he invited this random girl to a comedy show. And then he was the headliner. He brought the blind date on stage with him. She had no idea. And she's up there on stage and, like, was super funny. She was actually like an actor, and he had no idea that she was an actor when he DM'd her to come to the blind date. And they ended up, like, having a good time. And he was going to film multiple shows of that, multiple specials of that, make it like a series.
Wow.
But then his producer's like, I think you should call her. So he called her, and then fast forward to today, that's his wife now.
No kidding.
Yeah, super cool. So we got to hear that story he shared with us on the podcast, and it was a really good time, man. It was blessed.
Yeah. I love that.
Oh yeah, there's your boy.
There he is.
Look at me, looking like a little stud up there.
All in his radiant glory. Man, that's so
yeah,
cool,
it was man. Really fun, man. So it was cool. And that all happened the first day I came to this church. Like the Lord, you know, gave me the whisper to come here and transition over here. It was Father's Day weekend. I sat in the crowd, and then me and my family had a great time. It was Bad Motor Scooter weekend. My 5-year-old really connected with it. It was laughing at your little tricycle thing that you were up there with. And then we go out, we go to lunch. You text me, connect me with Nick. And then I call Nick, and then he books me on that. So it was just like a huge confirmation from the Lord to come on out there and have some fun and do some ministry while we were there. It was super special. The church was really hospitable too.
Yeah, I love Nick. So I knew Nick in Washington State. He used to live up there, and
He told me he knows Darren Stotts.
Yeah, he actually went to Darren Stotts' church.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah, and then of course he lives in the Phoenix area now. And he also got me connected with some other good friends of mine out there. So he's a good guy. Oh, wait, I'm going to yawn. Hang on.
You're going to yawn?
Tried not to, man. I tried really hard. That dadgum babe's chicken, man. Okay, on the Ugandan front, guys, I want to show you a video. This is me in Uganda just a little while back. And then I got a special update I want to tell you about. Watch this. Recently, I was in Uganda, East Africa, and we were just driving along, and all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say, look. And then I look out the window, and boom, I see all these little blue tarps on the side of this mountain. And I asked, what is that? And they said, it's a refugee camp for people who have been displaced by the terrible flooding that has come in. Now, look, you can imagine that the poor people are the people that are displaced because they live in the worst parts, and they live in the flood zones. And then whenever the terrible floods come, they lose a lot of lives, they lose family, they lose their homes, they lose everything. Well, the Ugandan government actually gives them land, and then they give them blue tarps, and they say, you're welcome to build something here. But of course, they have to come up with all that. We went and bought several thousand dollars worth of groceries, and we took it there. We went from tent to tent, talking to people, meeting people, seeing beautiful smiling faces, beautiful little boys and little girls. People wonder, what in the world are these people doing? Who are they? And we were like, Jesus has arrived. Today, the kingdom has come to your house. And then the chief there began to ask me, hey, would you please build a school here? Could you please build a church here? Then we talked to a doctor and said, we want to do a medical clinic. Look, these people have nothing. He said, come here, I want to show you something. He gathered up all of the 12 and 13 and 14 year old girls that he could find. Every single one of them had a child. Why? Because they're vulnerable, because they're unprotected, and because they need the body of Jesus to stand up and to be the hands and feet of King Jesus. Friends, I want to tell you, we did that. We made some huge commitments. We put down a lot of earnest, if you can imagine, in putting together food outreaches and a weekly thing there. We are already brought in school teachers that are going to start teaching them even before we get the building up. Friends, I want to encourage you to get into the fight. Simply go to odx.tv and help me rescue thousands and thousands of more people.
Well, hello, friends. Troy Brewer here on a spontaneous Friday, sitting across the table here with my good friend Zach Rippey, looking at what happened there in Uganda here just a few months back. And I got to give you an update because the Lord showed me this. I actually heard the Lord speak, and I heard him say, look, and I looked, just like the story says. And then Zach, you know, it was like, I saw the blue tarps, went there. We saw that there was 200 families living there. They didn't have nothing. All the young girls were pregnant or they had babies. It was bad. It's like, okay, we're going to have to do something. We have to do something. And man, honestly, the whole time I was there, I was like, I'm not starting another project. Okay, I'm going to start another project. Gosh.
You just can't say no.
Okay, well, it's a good thing that we did say yes, because they just had a horrible natural disaster there. And this terrible flood came in. It rained 20 inches. It's just like North Carolina. It rained 20 inches and it washed everything that you just saw has all been washed away. All of it has. I have a friend of mine that is working there because, of course, we're feeding these people. And this video was taken by one of the refugees. And I'll show you this. She's going through
the corner. It gets less shaky in a minute.
Yeah, it does. It will. Okay, that is right through the middle of their camp. There was not a river there. There was not even a creek there before. And it came right through there. And I don't know, can we turn up the sound on that on their end, please, sir? Oh, it's bad, guys. When you hear these guys saying, Yesu, Yesu, Yesu is how you say Jesus. And they're wailing, they're crying, they have lost. They had so very little. Thank you, my brother. Thank you so much. You know, they already had so very little, Zach, and now what they did have was washed away. So here's the deal. They're our responsibility. We got to take care of them. They're beautiful people. They're good people, and they just need help. And so we're going to help them. And I started looking around. There's no place to build there because the government owns all the land. And we found somebody, and they donated 14 acres to us.
Wow.
Yeah, so I got 14 acres.
And so what I can do is I can build these houses. And these houses are not forever homes. They are temporary structures because these refugees come from the mountain camps that were also flooded out. They have family. They have places to go, but it takes them a long time to get their act together. Or if they decide that they're going to stay there in that town and they're going to live somewhere else, work somewhere else, what opportunity is there for their kids? And it takes a while. We're going to take these people in for at least 6 months. In some cases, we'll have them longer than that, but we can build these houses that have a wall straight down the middle so that there's actually two families can live in one house. Each side has a bathroom. Each side has a kitchen. Each side has a living room. Each side has, you know, they can close the doors and lock it, and they're safe at night. And I can build these houses, each one of them, for $35,000.
Wow.
Yep. I'm about to have to build about 100 of them. Yeah. So that's right. That's how many people were there. So, you know, the government is asking me to help. They're asking me to help. Leanna's going to build another school. Leanna's going to build another church. Open Door Church will actually build the church. Leanna will build a school. And I'm going to put all these houses together and get those people up off the ground.
Wow. Praise God for you and the ministry, man. That is incredible work. Like, what a burden to carry. But we believe in God for it.
Man, dude, it was the Lord. I had not God said, look, and if I hadn't looked and saw all those blue tarps and just went, hey man, let's stop for a minute. Let's find out about it. And then saw everybody was starving. And then we went and bought several $1,000s worth of groceries and then we gave them out. Then we ran out of groceries. So we went and bought another one. So what we started doing is we started doing a food outreach every 2 weeks and it cost $10,000. We bought $10,000 worth of food to feed those refugees every 2 weeks and it'll get them through the 2 weeks. There's about 200 families that are actually living there, and 200 families is around 1,000 people. It's a little bit more than 1,000 people, I think, mostly kids. And now this disaster has struck, and those people have no place to go. So we moved them off the government property. We moved them onto our property, onto the 14 acres that somebody just gave me, and now we're in the process of building things. So, guys, I want to say this to you, man. If you want to help me do this, help me. Call the number, man. That's on the screen right there. Let's see. It's right there. I just found it. Call the number, man. It's on the screen and say, I want to help Pastor Troy. And, $35,000 is what it costs per house. And I want to tell you, that's two families and that's pretty daggum cheap because they're not piece of junk houses. I mean, they're nice houses. They're good. So they're solid houses. And again, none of those people even have running water because they live underneath blue tarps. And now their blue tarp has been blown away. So, this is going to be such a leg up. And then, of course, there's going to be a school there. There's going to be a medical clinic. There's going to all those different things, all the things that we do. If you'd like to write in a check and say, nope, I want to get in the fight. I got to help you. You can send a check actually to this address right here. It's P.O. Box 3775, Burleson, Texas, 76097. And you might be like, hey, Pastor Troy, what does that have to do with saving kids out of sexual trafficking? Other than preventing kids, I already told you that all the 12-year-old kids and 13-year-old kids, they all have babies or they're pregnant. And so it's not the fight against sexual trafficking, but it is the fight for human beings and vulnerable human beings.
Yeah, and Jesus always, when he gave them the spiritual need of teaching, he always fed them first. He always made sure the physical need was there first before he presented the gospel. And that's what something like this entails. And then from there, once you're able to help them, you're able to also teach them how to go out and make resources for themselves as well and teach them how to fish essentially with the resources that you're providing for them on that land. So it's a beautiful thing because you're not just changing a situation or a belly, you're changing a human that changes a village, that changes a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And it compounds and it grows.
And it's getting the attention of all of the local government that's over there. Who is this ministering? What are they doing here?
Yeah.
So we're going to call that a refuge or a redemption village. It's actually a redemption village.
That's
redemption
amazing.
Village. There you go.
I like it.
And so we're actually going to do that, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
And how are the lepers also?
You know what? Thank you for asking that because, you know, we helped the one guy that had leprosy.
Richard. Yep.
Brother Richard. And then we found out that there's two other guys. And then we found out this is where they live. I mean, that's where they actually live. That's where they sleep. That's where they cook. That's where they live. And I'm not sending them back to that place. And so we're like, okay. So, and you can tell, I mean, you look at their feet. It looks like Brother Richard's wearing shoes. He's not. Those are his feet.
Swollen.
That's leprosy. And we're getting him. He's actually being treated right this second. And those guys do not want to live in that place. I promise you. Like, oh, they don't care. They care. They're not living there because they want to live there. They're living there because they can't live anywhere else. So we're like, well, that's no problem. We'll just rent them a house. Okay, well, nobody would rent us a house because they don't want lepers living in their house.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that I blame them. You know, I mean, I don't know. But we're like, okay. So then we found this place. This place has some land. And this place is, it's a cool building. And you can see each one of those places there can be houses, every single one of those. So what that means is, Zach, I'm going to build a wall all the way around this place. I'm buying that entire place right there. And I'm going to have the very first leprosy center in all of Uganda. And we're just going to go find them and we're going to put them there. And so that they'll be safe. And then you know what's going to happen? They're all going to get saved, man. They're all going to get set free. They're all going to have a good place to live. They go from literally sleeping on the ground to living in a place like that. And I almost didn't show this because we haven't had a chance to fix that up yet. And I was like, I don't know. But it goes from that, from this place right there, to the new place I just not to that place. Yeah. I will fix that place up. That place will be a paradise by the time that I'm done.
From the pits to the palace.
That's it, buddy.
That's amazing, bro. And that's the gospel, man. That's the transformative process of what Jesus can do for you, man. So you're doing that in the physical. It's amazing, man.
Well, you know, we actually have to have a team of people that do nothing but just clean their wounds.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And it's like, whoa. It's a big deal. And like, again, I didn't go asking for this. I just came across him. You know, and that's what you got to do, man. When you come across these things, you got to believe that Jesus brought this to you. Same thing with that whole refugee center place. I mean, I wasn't looking for another million-dollar project. I wasn't looking for another this, another that. I wasn't. Just the Lord said, look. And I looked and I saw it. And then we stopped. And I went, oh, my gosh, man, these people are starving. And so what are we supposed to do? Walk away from that, man? And you know, yeah. Buy a new Porsche, you know, what are we supposed to do with that? You know, man, I need a new house on the beach. Dude, if the Lord brings these things to you, man, you have to be dedicated and you have to be committed to finishing the thing all the way through. Yeah. And I really am like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things I hear so often about the discourse of, you know, your body, the congregation, Open Door Church, is they say like, it feels so great to give here because I know it's going to a greater good. You know, a lot of churches that you maybe have gone to in the past, you experience like they'll do like one mission Sunday a month, you know, or a year. One mission Sunday a year where they raise a bunch of funds for missions. But it's like that's a every Sunday kind of thing. Here, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, exactly. You know, so it's really cool to be able to be a part of that because you know that the money's not just going for like a new building. It's going for everything that is happening through this ministry, which is awesome. So if you want to partner, go to odx.tv. I'm telling you, it's a great place to partner with. And I love also that you also offer like a platform for people to be able to go get all the content with their partnership. So with tier two and tier three, you get special privileges and benefits when we go behind the veil and when we have conferences and stuff like that, you get access to all those things. So it's a great place to partner and to support and subscribe. I mean, it's cheaper than Netflix too. I mean, come on.
Okay, right on, man. Well, Zach, why don't you go ahead and take us out, man? I want to tell everybody thank you so much for joining me. It's a spontaneous Friday. I hope to see you at the Open Door Food Bank at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to be there tomorrow, and we're going to feed about 3,000 people here locally. Guys, we're going to give away about 100,000 pounds of food, like just like we have been for 35 years. Yes, we have. 35 years. That's older than you, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I always see comments, how come you don't ever do anything for people in America?
How come you're brain dead?
And we got the New Beginnings Conference coming up. Let's talk about that a little bit.
We do have the New Beginnings Conference coming up, the biggest conference that we do all year long. And January 15th through the 18th in the year 2025. And guys, you can get your tickets at opendoorexperience.com or you can go to odx.tv and you should be able to find it there as well. But yeah, check that out. And then, guys, we are having this big Stand With Israel conference, and that is going to be on November the 15th. It's going to be at 6:30 p.m., and my good friend Chuck Pierce is going to be here, and I love Chuck Pierce. Shay's going to be here. Nathan's going to be here. And then, of course,
and this is free.
Paul Wilbur, yeah, it's a free event. And Paul Wilbur, internationally known, I mean, gosh. And then some yahoo from
Joshua, Texas is going to be here as well. So formerly Joshua, Texas, now Glen Rose, Texas. And that's going to be a really big deal. And then, of course, our Fall Fest is coming up.
Fall Fest, man. I'm bringing the fam. I'm bringing all the kiddos.
Yeah, it's fun. So we have thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds of candy. We keep Dennis, we keep their ministry going around here. All the dentists here locally are happy that we're here. But we've been doing that as well for 29 years.
That's so good.
Big free event. Feed everybody. Something alternative for Halloween, you know. Get together. And then also, too, we always, our children's church will grow by another 150 kids after this Fall Fest.
Wow, that's amazing.
And then we will actually be discipling those kids. So, yeah, it's great.
So good, man. A lot of good things happening here at Open Door Church.
Thank you.
Well, everybody, we're going to close out the show with that. If you guys enjoyed this one, please share it. Please get this in front of more people. Please make sure your friends know about what everything is going on here, and make sure you subscribe to The Pulse if you're watching on YouTube. We actually didn't go behind the veil today, so we appreciate everybody that watched all the way till the end with us. Go ahead and give a comment of what your favorite part was, if something really stood out to you. And we appreciate everybody being here. We got Betty watching. We got Tim. We got Charlie. We appreciate y'all. We got Belinda. We got Sherry Morgan holding it down in the comments.
Come on.
We got Kay McClure. Amen. Glory. Yes. We got Deborah. And I see we also have Tina Brown. Great name, Tina Brown. And then we got Mrs. Wolf. We appreciate all of y'all tuning in today. So make sure you share this with a friend. And we hope to see you at Open Door Church this Sunday. And we'll be back on The Pulse next week with Joseph Z on Tuesday, which is going to be super exciting at 1 p.m. Central Time. So we hope to see you there.
Really? He's going to be on here Tuesday?
Yeah.
That means we got to be back by 1 o'clock.
Yeah. You better get back from North Carolina, bro.
Man, oh, man. Me and that brother right there.
I'm excited to see him in
flesh. That's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, that's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
So, all right.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Any final words, Pastor Troy?
I don't think so. Just guys, listen, you're too blessed to be depressed, so don't be. And God Almighty is moving. These are shining times. Guys, the Spirit of the Lord is with us. Get up. Get up in Jesus' name. Amen. Get up. Man, God Almighty is doing amazing things. All right. That's all for me.
I call you the head and not the tail.
Above and not beneath.
And highly favored of the Lord.
Boom.
Bye, y'all.